Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors. From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors. Yeah, it's time to hop on the crazy train. Welcome to the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors, presented by Coleman Insect Repellents. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All aboard! You're on the crazy train with the Midwestern Shooter Supplies Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Midwestern Shooter Supplies Cutting Edge Outdoors with an S. Anyway, he's Danny Bush. I'm Tommy Neubauer. Ryan Horvath is our producer. He's going to walk out of the room for a little bit because don't call us right now if you were going to, because our headsets aren't working. So don't call. We couldn't hear you anyway.
Don't call us, guy.
Yeah,
we'll
don't
call you.
Yeah, don't call us yet. I'll give you the phone numbers later once the headsets are working. Anyway, 799-1250 is the phone number. Like I said, just don't call right now. And we come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. We are live. We are unrehearsed. We fly by the seat of our pants. We are the crazy train. I think maybe that's why they call us that, Danny. What do you think?
What I think is this show is way too early in the morning.
Oh, goodness
it's
me.
It's getting harder and harder for me to get up. You know, I got my body's on a set regulatory clock, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this Saturday show moves everything up an hour.
Yeah.
It's hard to move everything up an hour, yeah. If you know what I mean, drinking your coffee and timing
You
can leave the house.
I don't mind so much because I'm usually up around 5:30 every day anyway, even on Saturday and Sunday. I mean, I'm up early, just the way I am now. But I go to bed early too then. But yeah, Saturday got to get up a little bit earlier, you know. But hey, we got an email. Now, Danny, I already answered this person's email. I sent this lady, Elizabeth, an answer to her email question. But we can talk about it on the air here. It said, are walleye and northern and pike three different kinds of fish? The names appear in a chapter about fishing Beaver Dam Lake in a forthcoming book. I'd like the text to be accurate. And I told Beth, she's a regular listener, it says.
Gotcha.
I told her, I said, well, northern and pike actually are used in conjunction with each other. It's northern pike, and they are in the genus family with muskie and pickerel. And walleyes are a separate fish, and they're in the same genus family as sauger and perch. Although, Danny, have you ever gone to, you're at your local, Century, Pick and Save, whoever, Piggly Wiggly, and in the meat market, in the meat counter, they got, fish. And it'll have one that says walleyed pike. Mm-hmm. Or you go to a restaurant, and on the menu, they've got one that says walleyed pike. Now, my wife thinks I'm being a jerk. But I'll ask the butcher, or I'll ask the waitress. I said, what kind of fish is this? I said, because walleye and pike are two different fish. What kind is this? Well, it's a walleyed pike. Yeah, but it can't be. There is no such thing. It's got to be one or the other, you know? And one butcher said to me, so, well, that's what the DNR says to call it. And I said, I don't think the DNR, I know, I said, I think the DNR knows the difference between the two fish. I don't think they would tell you to call it that. Now they might call it that, and they might call walleyes walleyed pike in Canada.
So do you not order it or buy it because you don't know what it is?
Well, no, I go catch. I catch fish, so to eat.
Oh, you never buy fish
to
eat?
No, so
you've never bought
except for ocean fish. You know, like cod, haddock, things
on the
like
ocean.
That. Yeah, right. Because we're not on the ocean, right? So you know, cod, haddock, things like that, I'll buy. But you know, it's just kind of funny, you know, that so many places will use that term walleyed pike, and they're totally different. And the way they separate the genuses of them is by their skeletal structure. That's how they separate them.
So, as far as asking the poor waitress,
or
the poor butcher, I'm with your wife on this one, Tom.
I'm being a jerk.
Yeah,
I thought I was being helpful.
You're not being helpful. You're just showing
what
them
they're doing is
that
is
you're
not
smarter than they
correct.
Are.
No, I'm just letting them know that there is no such thing like that. You should just call it a walleye.
Speaking of
walleye fillets,
no such thing. I was once again waking up at night. My routine is I get up, get a drink of water, and after midnight I turn on Coast to Coast and listen to Fall Asleep with stories of Bigfoots and extraterrestrials and and conspiracies. And name Linda Godfrey. She wrote a book, Monsters Amongst Us. I think we got to get a hold of her, Tom.
Oh, no.
She's big working in Wisconsin and studying the Beast of Bray Road.
The Beast of Bray Road?
Okay, so I've read about it somewhat in the past in a book. It was near down Bray Road, I believe, is down towards south towards what city is it? Well, just south of Madison.
Okay.
Down in that area.
Janesville area?
Yeah, yeah. Whatever. That's where it was. I think it's down near Janesville. And there were some teenagers partying down by a river. It was on one of those TV shows one time. And they saw some kind of a werewolf-type creature. And they call it Dogman because it walks upright. It's got the head of a dog, but it's, you know, so it's kind of like a werewolf type thing.
Okay.
And this book talks about other sightings. In fact, there was a Native American guy that they interviewed on TV who claims he was driving through Wisconsin and he saw this one day during broad daylight. It was staring over a fence line at him.
Mm-hmm.
And he stopped and they had a stare down for a while. And now this guy has like dozens of pictures of it all over his house where he just was obsessed and he's an artist, and he just create this. So anyway.
But no actual photos.
No actual photos.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, this Linda Godfrey's been here studying it, and there's been a lot more sightings. In fact, they've been staking out a farm, and they actually put some deer carcasses and trail cameras and stuff.
Mm.
All kinds of strange kind of things going on. In fact, if you've ever heard of Skinwalker Ranch down in Utah, that there's been books and there's been people that were down there studying it for years about the strange phenomena of seeing combination of UFOs, glowing orbs in the sky, creatures that turned into like wolves and Bigfoot, all kinds of weird stuff that would come and then just disappear, kind of like in thin air. So,
but there's no, it's kind of like Bigfoot. Everybody talks about it, but nobody has any photos
about
it.
The last sighting was like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
This gal says there was a middle-aged couple. Wife worked at a bank, and the guy was retired. And they called. These people, of course, don't want to report it because everyone's going to think they're nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But they saw one run across the road. So I think
run or walk? I mean, run up, upright.
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 It's upright, but it's kind of hunched over.
Yeah, okay.
It's kind of hunched over.
Kind of like a werewolf.
Kind of like a werewolf.
Yeah.
And they said the thing moves incredibly fast and goes. So you hear all these stories, man, and it's kind of crazy, but it's right here in Wisconsin. So I think I'm going to call her up. Maybe I can go on a stakeout. they actually did do a stakeout sitting watching
That's
this farmer's
funny.
Field.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to go check it out and see if I can find myself a dog man. The other thing they talked about was something called a cabot. Have you ever heard of a cabot?
No.
It's supposed to be a cross between a cat and a rabbit.
I've never seen that.
And they claim while I'm listening to the show, some caller called up and claimed that they actually did have one as a pet. It was a cross between a cat
but no
and a
photos.
Rabbit. Well, I don't know. I'm sure maybe if you went online, you can find some photos. So
yeah, but then you don't know, are they photoshopped or what? You know, I mean,
yeah. Nowadays,
I'm always a little skeptical. You know.
Well, the same thing with the old Bigfoot thing. You know.
Yeah.
How many years? All we have is the grainy photo.
Yeah, exactly.
That grainy footage from like when I was a kid.
Yep.
Of that one in California.
Yeah. There was another one out recently too. Well, maybe it isn't so recent, but there was another one, and it's just like a blur in the woods that it could be the moss hanging off a tree. It could be Bigfoot. I don't know.
Hey, I got a brilliant money-making scheme.
Uh-oh. That's what we need.
You know how I was complaining last week about everybody who like to take too many selfies?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why not, if you get a dress up like a Bigfoot and then charge people $5 a photo for them to take a selfie with Bigfoot?
Like in the woods or something.
Like in the woods or something.
Yeah.
Or you could even, if you wanted to do something funny... This I would go along with. Like I said, they got like these plaques and these scenic views where people can take a picture of themselves in front of the sign at McChickenie State Forest.
Yeah.
Instead of do that, do a big Bigfoot kind of a cutout where you can go next to the Bigfoot and do a selfie of you and the Bigfoot. Everybody would be doing it. That would
I
be
think a lot
funny.
Of people would, except for maybe you and me. But
yeah, we don't.
Yeah, we...
Well, I don't. I think
we just want to collect the money.
It'd be kind of hard to do a selfie with my flip phone.
Yeah. Well. Mine takes pictures, but I don't.
Yeah, mine takes pictures,
I don't use it.
But you got to turn it. You know
what
I mean?
You can't see what you're taking a picture of. Whereas on these other phones, you can.
I think those other phones, you can kind of line
it
up, and you can see your.
You can see what you're taking a picture of.
You can see your ugly mug when you take a picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, we couldn't do that with ours.
No, maybe it's time we upgrade.
I like it that way.
Maybe someone out there will start a GoFundMe page.
For the CEO guys.
To get Dan and Tom. But then you're going to have to also fund and pay somebody to train us on how to use all the buttons. Maybe you can hire a 10-year-old kid temporarily unemployed can show us how to do it.
John, our former fearless leader, he didn't have a... He didn't have a smartphone, did he?
No, he had flip phone.
He had a flip phone. Can you imagine him with a smartphone? He'd be pressing those buttons, going like that thing would blow up right in his hand.
He'd hit a whole bunch of numbers, and all of a sudden, Vladimir Putin would pick up. God knows where he could end up.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
You would call some 900 number, and he'd get a phone bill for $1,000.
Hey, guess what's working?
Huh?
Guess what's working? I think our...
Watch that feedback buddy.
Wait a minute. Let me check this out. Hey, it's working, Danny.
What's working?
Fantastic.
Hey, did you get the little blue pill? Good for you, my friend.
All right. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back with more with Danny and Tom and Ryan, who's fixing stuff here on the Midwestern Shooter Supplies Cutting Edge Outdoors on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
This week on the Youth Sports Show, we're talking youth baseball. We're running.
Schizo on the highway.
Schizo.
Put him under pressure.
Yeah. For all the Harley riders out there.
I had a crazy guy who lived next door to me in college, and one time we used to try and break the doors down, and guys would throw mattresses, and 20 guys would pile on top of some unsuspecting student. We were trying to bust his door down with a bunch of guys, and he was kind of like schizophrenic. I guess he'd got kicked out of the Air Force. He'd get what he called his crazy check each week or each month, and he went so crazy he was going to light the door on fire.
Oh, really?
He's going to light the door on fire. Yeah. So then I came up with the song Schizo on the Highway, put him under pressure, light your door on fire. Yeah, he soaked lighter fluid on strips of paper and had it underneath the door and was ready to light the whole thing up.
Is he in prison now?
I don't know whatever happened. I think he's a minister somewhere.
Oh really?
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's...
We got an anonymous caller, Danny.
Anonymous.
Yeah. Good morning, Anonymous.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey,
I've got a very true kind of a creepy fishing story.
All right.
first thing you got to understand is I'm an extremely avid fisherman.
Okay.
I mean, I probably have more rods and reels and tackle than most of the local bait shops. So
okay.
I used to, back in the late 80s, I used to fish Rock Lake out in Lake
okay.
Mills.
Yeah.
And we used to go night fishing with my buddies, and then we'd catch a lot of walleyes. Well, one day I had a day off from work, and I decided, well, I'm going to pack up the boat and go by myself. You know, I got out to that lake, and I was fishing, and I got so creeped out to the point where it's like, you know, your sixth sense was tingling. It's like I didn't know what was wrong. I just knew something was really wrong.
The hair was standing up on your
there.
Yeah, the hair was standing up on your arms.
At that point, yeah.
It was the weirdest thing in the world. And it just, I literally got so creeped out, I packed up my stuff and I left.
Well, what happened?
Well, the funny thing is the next day I was telling the guys at work about it, and one of the girls came up to me and says, well, you know, they have like these mysterious pyramids and burial sites on that lake, don't you? And she actually brought in a couple books that they printed about Rock Lake and all the mysterious stuff in there. And I was like, man, that makes sense because, that, I mean, for me to leave a lake fishing is like unheard of.
Yeah.
That's how creeped out that whatever was in that lake that night, I wanted nothing to do with it.
So you mean these burial sites are under the water?
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently, it was flooded back in the day. I believe there were some Indian burial sites. There were some pyramids down there. They sent divers down. They had a hard time identifying a lot of things down there. I just remember there was like two or three books printed about it.
Really?
Like, I think it's called the Rock Lake Pyramids or something like that. But it's kind of it's just a creepy story. My
wow.
friends still chuckle about it. Like
that is... So Rock Lake, that's where is that located?
It's out by Madison, out by Lake Mills.
Okay,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Okay, this is freaking me out because last night out by Pewaukee Lake, some gal who paddleboards, she sat and started talking with me about fishing. She goes, oh, I got a place on, we got a place on Rock Lake by Lake Mills.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
I was going to ask you today, Tom, about what kind of fish are in there.
Yeah.
Now I get first thing we got a call about some creepy stuff on Rock Lake.
Oh,
I'm freaking out now.
Oh,
whoa! How did that happen?
Wow!
I don't know, but that, like that's I said, is unheard of. I remember my girlfriend at the time was like, "Well, what's wrong with you? You're home." And I was like, "You ain't gonna believe this one."
Yeah. So you just had this feeling, right?
Yeah.
Just
you know,
like something was not right.
You just get, you know, like a sixth sense
yeah.
about certain things.
Yeah.
And that particular night, it just. Whatever it was like a feeling of dread and just, I knew I didn't want to be there to the point where I
yeah.
just like, you know what? I got to get the hell out of here.
You were out
I mean, that's...
in the boat then or on shore?
No, I was in the boat.
In the
yeah,
boat.
All by
yeah.
myself.
You
like
might
I said,
have been...
I fished that like many times with my friends, never had an issue or a problem, but it's
you...
just that one particular night by myself.
Have you been back there since fishing
no.
at night?
No, are you kidding? He ain't going back there.
Did you sprint? Like, out of the area? Because sometimes when I get a little scared and nobody's around, I just run. Like, just
no,
dead
I will
sprint.
Admit to, you know, occasionally looking over my shoulder in the dark parking lot because I was the only one there.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
When
wow.
you closed the door, you locked it immediately when you before you started the car, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
God. Well, thanks for calling it.
Hey, we're glad you lived through it.
Yeah.
Have a good one, guys.
Take
thanks.
Care.
Bye now. You know, I guess I'm the opposite. When I hear something creepy or if I feel something creepy, I go towards it. You know, like just like last month, I was in the garage. I went out to the garage and I heard something in the alley by the garbage cans, right?
Raccoon.
Now, instead of, you know, running away, I grabbed the baseball bat and I walked out, opened up the back gate to see what the heck it was, you know? It was my son taking out the garbage and I almost whacked him one in the head. But then, well, just this morning, I get out my side door of the house and I could have swore I heard a voice, you know, like somebody whispering or something mm-hmm. on the other side of the garage, like on my neighbor's side over in his yard. So I walked over to my neighbor's door to see if there was anybody like trying to break in or something. I walked right at it, you know. I mean, am I weird?
Well,
do I have a death wish?
The whole,
I mean,
the
I,
whole weird thing could just be a whole general topic conversation.
Well, yeah,
you know, I mean, you're getting kind of broad, but specifically
yeah.
with this, I don't know. Ryan's saying he doesn't go.
See, I used to be that way, too. If you would see somebody in your yard, I'd run out there with a baseball bat. But
or
with,
whatever.
With things like supernatural things like that kind of story, or when my TV just magically turned on in the middle of the night, I don't mess with that kind of stuff.
My cousin, great big guy, 230-pound, 600-pound squatter, not afraid of anything back in the day, he got into trout fishing up in these streams in northern Minnesota. And he'd go way back in to find beaver ponds and stuff. And one time the trail went by this old graveyard.
Yeah.
And he's up way in the Minnesota North Woods. I don't know if it's an Indian graveyard or what. But he said during the day, he always got kind of creeped out going by it. Well, now he's coming back in the pitch of night, right?
Yeah.
And it's a full moon kind of a night. And he's kind of dreading to he's going to have to go past that graveyard. So then it starts raining. And as it's raining, he's walking to right by it. And he's telling himself, everything's fine, everything's fine, everything's fine, be cool, be cool. And just then, a huge bolt of lightning and thunder just exploded and just lit up the whole grave, and he just lost it. He said he just, because he was right by the graveyard,
he
took off running in his waders and all his fly fishing gear, running for about a quarter mile as fast as he could. He said he dove into his car, wound up the windows and locked the doors, and sat and caught his breath for a couple of minutes. It totally freaked him out.
Wow. Hey, we got an email from Jack. Jack says, what radio station is that Danny talks about once in a while about people telling goofy stories and nutty conspiracy theories? Thanks, and have a great weekend. It's on WISN.
It's that Coast to Coast.
It's called Coast to Coast. It's on that's 11:30 on the AM dial.
Starts at midnight. Yeah, runs all night till 5.
Yeah, till 6.
6 today, but weekdays 5.
Weekdays 5,
then you get the news. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So there you go. So,
is there a host of that show?
George, what's his name?
Romero?
It used to be Art Bell, but he died out in the desert. And then now
I think he got picked up by aliens.
It's a George something or other. and then he has people that fill in.
Yeah.
So some of the stories are so off the wall, goofy. Like, as I was driving in today, they're calling asking this lady who investigated the Beast of Bray Road stuff. She investigates all crazy stories. She says she gets like 7 stories a week from everybody. Mm-hmm. So this one guy calls, and then they take callers. Guy calls in, and he says, well, I watch the sky mostly. He says, one time I saw a flying snake with wings. He says, I saw it through my binoculars. Then he says, I saw a floating jellyfish in the sky. So I forget what the third one was. And he goes, but I've Googled, and I can't find any image of any of these things, and sometimes I think I'm going crazy. And I thought to myself, dude, you're already there, man.
You're not going. You're
there. I mean, it's one thing to see a werewolf run across the road in front of you, but if you start seeing floating jellyfish in the sky.
Your train has come into
snake.
The station. Yeah.
Yeah. Train has left us, whatever.
A snake with wings, that sounds like a dragon.
Well, that's what I was thinking. You know, maybe, and that the lady didn't even say that. She said, I haven't had any reports about that.
Well, she took it real seriously, right?
They take them serious. Even, and some of the people really sound credible, and then others are complete off-the-wall nutcases, and you can tell it. But they generally humor them. They don't go, you're a nut.
Yeah.
Had quite the experience there, haven't you?
Oh, God.
Just think if they legalize marijuana, Tom, there's going to be twice as many Bigfoot sightings. There's going to be, if they legalize that nationwide, I'm telling you, there's going to be more alien Bigfoot dogman sightings. It's going to be nuts.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you're right. There probably will be. Yeah, yeah.
I would like to see a sighting of something. I never see nothing. I sat out in my backyard and covered my head with aluminum foil and stared at the sky with binoculars for weeks. Didn't see a god dang thing. Actually, I will take that back. One time in high school, I looked up in the sky, and this was a memory that just came back to me this year. I hadn't thought of this for years, but I heard a similar story and it sparked a memory. One time in my backyard in Green Bay, I did look up, and middle of a clear day, there was a triangle shaped object that was metallic or like aluminum foil, like it was bright, and it stayed in one spot way up in the sky. And I kept staring at it thinking, not a cloud, not a plane, not a anything. And I watched it for about, I don't know, half an hour. Then it just disappeared. It was the weirdest thing. And I later just, well, shortly thereafter, it was weird. A military plane went flying over. And I never seen military planes flying over where I lived in Green Bay. But then I remember telling my buddies about it the next day. But then I forgot about it. So I don't know what I saw. And I'm not one to really look up in the sky, honestly, and try and look for stuff.
You know, when I was younger, I knew what the speed of our satellites were going, because they tell you a satellite speed when it goes around the Earth, you know. And if you look up in the sky at night, you'll see something going by, a light, you know.
Okay.
And then you can kind of calculate when it'll come back. And if you go back out there, within, you know, 15 minutes, half an hour, all of a sudden you'll see it going by again. It's one of the satellites.
Really?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
If you look in the sky long enough, you will see a satellite. It'll be like a...
Are you saying they can circle the Earth in 15 minutes?
No. I'm saying when you go back to, I forget how long it was later, a couple hours later. Or whatever.
I don't know.
Within a window of like 15 minutes to a half an hour.
Within that window,
yeah, you can kind of figure it out. And it's just it looks like a star just moving along at a steady pace. And a lot of people think those are like flying objects. No, those are satellites, you know, and they'll come back. You'll see them again, you know, at night, you know, several times, you know, you'll see them because they're going something like, 17,000 miles an hour or 7,000 miles. It's some outrageous speed,
right,
that they're going around the Earth. And believe, you know, we
have.
A little
faster than a Harley.
Yeah. We in America and China and Europe and all these countries, there are so many damn satellites up there. I'm surprised they aren't running into each other. And not only that, but, you know, when these satellites die, they keep going around in circles, you know, when they're not in use anymore.
That's what they call the space junk, right?
Yeah, all the space junk up there. I'm surprised it isn't running into each other.
Well, don't they say that eventually they might come down? Well, I guess if they hit the Earth's atmosphere, they pretty much burn up
reentry. Most of it does.
So we don't have to worry about being walking along at Summerfest and boom, hit by a satellite.
Let's hope not. But parts of them do come down. But anyway, we got to go to a break, Danny. Coming up next is the Gut Report. And then after the 6:45 break, we have the Hornswoggle brought to you by Baitmate Fish Attractants and Coleman Insect Repellents. Stay tuned for that and a whole lot more. We'll be right back.
Curly's Water.
God. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor. Where they sell Laduca wines.
I like Laduca.
I got one yesterday. Anyway.
They got Boone's Farm?
I don't know if they make that anymore. You know, the thing is that, you know, we get food, you know, we have multicultural foods in this country, foods from all over the world, all different things. And one of the things that a lot of people really like is Mexican food. And also a lot of people like eating salmon right out of our own Lake Michigan. But, you know, if you want to make something interesting, okay, how about Mexican salmon? Ryan, what is that to go to re-listen to the show that's...
On demand.
It's 1057fmthefan.com.
Yep, you just go to the on demand section, scroll down, and you'll see the Cutting Edge Outdoors page. Click right there, and I got the podcast, hour one, hour two, each Saturday.
Right. So if you miss this, you can go right to that. Okay. You take 4 to 6 ounces of jalapeno jelly.
Ooh.
Add a chopped jalapeno if you'd like a little more spice. 2 cloves of minced garlic. 2 chopped scallions. 1/2 cup of chopped cilantro. Lime zest. And 2 tablespoons of butter. Heat all those ingredients together and then, you know, brush it over your salmon as you're either broiling it or on the grill or whatever. Yeah, brush it 2-3 times, whatever, and you will have your Mexican salmon. You know, so it's just another one of those salmon recipes, Danny. You know, I suppose you could do it with the trout, too, with the brown trout.
Yeah.
You know, you could do it with any of those fish.
I wonder
fish,
if you could make a kind of Asian salmon.
And, well, I'll tell you what. I'll look one of those up and bring that in, all right?
Hey, now I'm a happy guy.
An Asian salmon. Anyway, the Gut Report was brought to you by Discount Liquor, where you'll find the best price, selection, and service. At 51st and Oklahoma in Milwaukee and Barstow and Maine in Waukesha for weekly specials and your Laduca wine, go to discountliquorinc.com.
Come here, I'm gonna eat you! I'm bigger than you, I'm higher in the food chain! Get in my belly!
So, now, let's get on to fishing and hunting.
On to fishing.
And all that kind of good stuff that's going on right now. My son Nick went up by his father-in-law's land up in Price County. They wanted to do the early goose and the dove.
They're starts today.
Yeah, and so
people are shooting geese.
They're up there right now. He left yesterday afternoon, but anyway, they were going to do fishing and hunting, and they got the 9-year-old up with them, his brother-in-law's son. I think he's 9 or 10. They're going to introduce him to the great outdoors of hunting, you know, and stuff like that. So he's never done that before.
How old is he?
He's 9 or 10.
And he's going to try and shoot a goose?
Well, I don't know if they're going to have him shoot the shotgun or not, but maybe the .22. They're going to do some target shooting with the .22.
Yeah.
Because they got an area with a berm that they can shoot against and that. So this might be his first time shooting the .22, you know. So
What did you learn to shoot first, Tom? What's the first when you were taught? Did your dad take you out and teach you how to shoot?
No. Actually, really? It was my brother's.
Really?
And I think it was... the earliest recollection I have is getting my shoulder torn off with an old Winchester single shot crack open 12 gauge shotgun.
I had one of those. Yeah. It was an Ithaca.
Yeah.
It recoiled like a son of a gun.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you know, I'll tell you what though, when I was later on as a teenager where I could go out hunting, you know, I used that gun and it taught me that you only got one shot, so you better make it count. So when I would be pheasant hunting, it's like the bird would come up, fly away. I would take aim. I didn't mind if it went out a little further,
right?
Because it was like a 32-inch barrel, full choke, you know. So I wanted to get the spread a little bit bigger. So I would wait. I'd really take aim on it because I only got one shot, you know.
Right.
And I think I got pretty decent at it, you know. I mean, not great, but I got decent at it. And then later on in life, I'd go hunting with friends, and it's like as soon as the bird pops up, they're boom, right away, you know? I mean, and I am the type of guy that wants to wait a little bit.
Well,
even though I got 3 shots there, I want to wait a little
for
bit.
You.
I can't.
If he's listening, you can't go pheasant hunting with Al Shook then.
Because he's like that. Boom, right away. They come up, boom.
If you're hesitating or you're just taking, oh, okay, they're nice, careful, and boom.
He's got it.
Yeah, he doesn't mess around. So, but I had my dad got me a shotgun. Well, for years I had a .22 and I'd go back in the field. I remember one time with a .22, I had like 4 roosters come up in front of me, one right after another. And I was like, oh my God, I wish I had a shotgun. So Pop got me a shotgun. But he must have been trying to make us good shots because he got my brother a bolt-action 20-gauge Stevens,
mm-hmm.
which isn't the fastest firearm or weapon in the world. I got a bolt break-action, big long barrel, 3-inch Magnum chamber, there wasn't 3.5-inch Magnum. It didn't exist. And it was a big old Ithaca. Mm-hmm. And it was so big and heavy. The first thing I ever shot with it was a great big giant fox squirrel that I blasted off a tree branch when I was walking through some woods near Wapaka. But the thing had a hammer, Tom, that was really hard to pull back.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really stiff to pull it back. You couldn't just real quick flip like flipping a safety. So I shot a lot of rabbits with it, but it was comical because the rabbit would go up off my feet. I'd have to, first of all, try and pull that hammer back, click. Then I'd have to hoist it up to my shoulder. And then by the time I'd go to swing and shoot the rabbit, the goddamn thing was 50 yards away and disappearing.
Yeah.
So I'd take one swing, and I can't tell you how many I shot where the rabbit had disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And I was swinging to catch up to it, and I just continued my swing, guesstimated, and shot.
Yeah.
And I'd go look in the brush, and there it'd be.
And there'd be
a rabbit only takes like one pellet.
I think hit
them in the foot, and they go into, you know,
cardiac arrest.
They do. Yeah, they freak.
Well, the
not a squirrel.
The gun that I owned many years ago with the biggest kick, it was a Mercury made in Spain, double barrel, 10 gauge, 3.5-inch Magnum. that baby would knock you down. And it was a good goose hunting gun, but you didn't want to carry it around for pheasant. It was way too heavy. So it was a gun that you put on your lap and sit there a while, you know. Yeah, that
it's also one you don't want to target practice pattern.
No,
let's pattern it on a goose. Because when there's a goose or whatever, any kind of game, everybody knows that you don't, then the noise and the recoil and the blast really don't bother you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because you got the adrenaline
of
shooting.
Right.
But then if you go to shoot it at the range, that ain't. I shot a deer with my dad's slug shotgun one time running through a marsh. I was up in a tree and the deer's bounding through, probably one of the best shots ever made. And I started blazing, emptied the gun at it, and I couldn't believe I got it on the last shot. But I didn't notice the recoil at all, right?
Mm-hmm.
The next year I take it out. Dad says, go sight that shotgun in. So I put a target on a post and stood back 50 yards and I shot twice, and I'm like, God dang, this thing kicks. I don't want to shoot this again. You know, it was off by a little bit. I went back to Dad. He says, is it shooting right? Hell yeah, it's fine. Good.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, good. Close enough. I'm not going to shoot that thing no more.
All right, folks. You know what time it is? It's time for the Hornswoggle. That's right. It's sponsored by Baitmate Fish Attractants and Coleman Insect Repellents. Danny's going to give you three statements. You're going to say if it's a Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle. And if you get two out of three correct, you are going to win a really nice prize package. So be the first, not the first caller. What are you going to take, Ryan? Like third caller?
15th.
What?
No, I'm kidding, guys. 15,
I can't even count to 15.
You're right.
Wait,
you're
Tom, right. Give him your abacus.
I usually take caller number 4.
Okay, caller number 4 at 799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. Win a really nice prize package. We'll be right back with more.
You're listening to Honor Flight 2018, presented by Great Midwest Bank and Marshfield Clinic Health System. Special thanks for participating sponsor support from Acura of Brookfield and Boilermakers Local 107.
The Beer Depot in Pewaukee sells more than just beer. A good selection of wines and liquors will greet you, but your nose will smell the outstanding smoked ribs, pulled pork, and many other delights. Customers love Randy's smoked meats. You should really try some. For more information, just Google the Beer Depot or call 262-696-4602. Seriously, try the ribs at the Beer Depot. Mini mites by Cubby Tackle are the best bait to use for panfish since sliced bread. Well, not that sliced bread was any good to begin with anyway. Hi, I'm Tom Neubauer, and I've been using mini mites for years and have caught lots of bluegills, crappies, and perch on them. Mini mites come in many colors, and I have my favorites, and after you start using them, you'll have your favorites too. When it comes to plastics for panfish, mini mites are all you'll need. Look for mini mites at your local fishing tackle retailer.
Price, selection, and service are the reasons you should go to Discount Liquor for all your adult beverages. Discount Liquor is located at 51st and Oklahoma in Milwaukee and at Main Street in Barstow in Waukesha. Hard-to-find items are not so hard to find at Discount Liquor. Let the courteous staff help you find the right wine, beer, or liquor from the huge selection. Go to DiscountLiquorInc.com for weekly specials and more information. That's DiscountLiquorInc.com.
Are you looking for a boat sales and service shop you can trust and depend on? Let the Boat Doc earn your business with their honesty, integrity, and attention to detail. They're proudly an authorized Triton Boats and Mercury Marine dealer. The Boat Dock has earned the prestigious Mercury Customer Service Award 10 years in a row, and they're one of Triton Boats' largest and most respected dealers. Josh Weisner, owner of the Boat Dock, is a Mercury Master Certified Technician and works alongside his talented team of technicians each day. Conveniently located 45 minutes north of Milwaukee, off Highway 41, Exit 87 in La Mira, the Boat Dock is your authorized Triton Boat dealer.
Your garage door is something you use several times a day. Torsion springs, lift cables, and door openers can and do break down. When you need someone to repair or replace them in a jiffy, there's only one person I call. That's JJ at Jiffy Overhead Doors. You know me, I'm always looking for the best price and service, and that's what Jiffy Overhead Doors provide. I've had JJ install a new opener and my new garage door, and I couldn't be more satisfied. Check them out at jiffydoor.com.
Drive safely, Wisconsin. Highway workers are out on the road. They do it to better serve you. And just like you, they want to get home safely at the end of a hard day's work. When driving, all of us have a chance to set the right example. Be patient. Put down the phone. Never text and drive. Slow down and move over if possible to give workers a little extra room. Work zone safety. It's everyone's responsibility.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
If you've ever thought about a career in union construction, now is a great time to consider your options. 2018 is a huge year for the construction industry. WRTP Big Step offers programs and classes to help you explore and prepare for your career in the union construction industry. In partnership with union contractors and building trades on local projects such as the Northwest Mutual Tower, WRTP Big Step is working to recruit and build a skilled, qualified, and diverse workforce. Call 414-342-9787 today.
Do you love me, or is it just my money because I'm a wealthy, single, straight, white landowner from Douglas County? Welcome back to Midwestern Shooter Supply, Cutting Edge Outdoors. And we got John on the line to do the hornswoggle.
Yeah.
Yep, here he comes.
Here we go.
Hey, good morning.
Button.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, fellas.
Hey, John. So you know how the hornswoggle works. I guess you're a past contestant. So
yes. Here
we go. Now, being as we're talking shooting now, hunting, early goose starts today, dove, I guess, some other stuff. I've got hunting on the brain. So let's talk ammo for deer hunting. So here we go. A 50-grain soft point bullet is ideal. 50-grain soft point bullet is ideal for deer hunting. Hornswoggle or no hornswoggle?
I'm going to say a hornswoggle.
That is a hornswoggle. 50
Very
grain.
Good. That's
I mean,
too
a 22
small.
is 40 grain. You might have some guys will try and use the 65 grain with a 223, but generally most rounds are 150 grains right mm-hmm. around there. Okay, good one. Remington for many years has made the world famous Remington silver tip bullet. Remington silver tip. Hornswoggle or no hornswoggle?
I'm going to say hornswoggle.
It's a hornswoggle. It's Winchester silver tip.
That's,
Remington makes
think
the
of it.
Core lock. There
yeah,
we go.
Core lock.
Right. Well, wait, did you get that one right?
You got it right.
Okay.
Yeah, where's... Going to do another one because you didn't do it for the first one.
There okay. we go.
No, I did it for the first one.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, now you got three.
Wow. Yeah, you're lucky.
Well, we gave you the third ring before you even get it, John, so here you go. Three for three.
All
Remington,
right.
Winchester, and Federal... All three of them make both ammo and firearms. Hornswoggle, no hornswoggle.
I would say no hornswoggle.
No, that's a hornswoggle. Federal. Their ammo is their only business.
Only,
that
yeah.
used to be their big ad.
Right.
Ammo is their only business. But
yeah.
you win anyway. You're still a winner. What kind of flavor bait mate would you like?
What are my options?
You got game fish, which is general, kind of like a garlic and salt, which is kind of overall good. And then I think they've got walleye, bass, panfish.
I'll get a panfish.
Panfish. Okay, there we go. We'll get it into panfish. And do you want repellent DEET or DEET-less?
I'll take the DEET.
DEET. Do you want 25, 40, 100%? What percent DEET would you like?
40% will be good.
40%. Yeah, I think that's plenty good. That 100% is wicked stuff. Okay. So anyway, hopefully, you know, Ryan didn't mess up your address here, and we can had a few problems here lately, John. So, but anyway,
all right, well, I'll be waiting for the package, I guess.
All right, buddy. Take care. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, guys.
Hey,
yep.
Bye
take
now.
Care.
Oh, yep. That was good. We got a nice winner.
Segues me into my next topic here, Tom.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, deer. When you grew up hunting. For deer hunting, there was three, you go to the store, there was typically three choices in ammo. You could get Winchester. And Winchester had either their, I believe it was the PowerPoint and Silvertip.
Mm-hmm.
You had the Remington Core-Locked.
Mm-hmm.
And then later they made the Pointed Core-Locked. And then you had Federal.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much three brands of rifle ammo. I know you didn't deer hunt that much back then,
right.
But three brands. Nowadays, it's a new hunter, I think, would be like totally, totally confused with all the options that these ammo manufacturers are coming up with. I'm going to read a real quick list to you. Nosler Trophy Grade, Barnes, Vortex, Hornady Superformance, Winchester, Deer Season XP, Hornady, American Whitetail, Nosler, Ballistic Tip, Federal, Trophy Bonded Premium, Federal Fusion, Nosler Accubond, Federal Non-Typical, HSM Trophy Grade, Federal Premium Edge, LTR. Do you get the drift?
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
All the loads, and a lot of them, like the Winchester Deer Season XP, Hornady American Whitetail, and Federal Fusion, are being specifically marketed for the deer hunter. And some of the, so here's the thing, you can go and get your Remington Core-Locked for $18 a box yet, or whatever, thereabouts. Mm-hmm. Or you can go buy one of these deluxe Federal premium loads or whatever for $40 or plus a box. And, I mean, how dead is dead when you're shooting a deer and does it really, I mean, if you're shooting the bullet that costs $2 a round versus the one that costs $1 a round or less.
They'll all kill a deer.
Yeah, it's almost, it's amazing in that there must be a market for it, Tom. I mean, this stuff must be selling.
Yeah, there must be selling. Uh-huh.
Now, for years, I used just your basic Remington. I always worked fine. Now I've gone to the Hornady Superformance because it's like 200 feet per second faster, super accurate. So that's kind of what I've gone to. But I'm kind of curious if any of our listeners out there have a recommended load that they think that's worked great for them, and do they have any loads that they would not recommend? The only one, they could give us a call, if so, 799-1250. The only ammo that I've used that I lost a deer on, and it could have been my fault. I might have hit it too far back. But then I went online, and I saw similar reports from other guys. It's Hornady, I believe, Lever Evolution Ammo. It's basically what it is, Tom. It's ammo that has like a soft tip. So it's pointed, so it can be loaded in a tubular magazine, like a Winchester Model 94. They always had the round nose bullets.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because they didn't want, being as you got, as you put it into the, what I guess that's a tubular magazine or whatever you call it there. They don't want, the bullets are butt to, you know, nut to butt. And they can...
They don't want them
firing off
the bullet but in front of them. Yeah.
Right, the Lever Evolution stuff is soft, and yet you got better downrange performance because of the enhanced ballistics with the pointed tip. But I did with the 44 Magnum. I lost a deer, and I've lost very few over the years. And then I did shoot another one that I should have dropped in its tracks, and I couldn't find any blood. And then later I did find it, but I was amazed that it didn't. So I quit using that. I kind of lost faith in that. But otherwise, I really can't say any other of all the different loads, Federal, when I've used them all. You hit the deer in the right spot, it's the load's going to do its, you know,
it's
do its
its
job.
Job. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know what you haven't deer hunted in a number of years.
Oh,
though.
Quite a few years. Last couple times I went deer hunting, I didn't have a license. I didn't have a gun. I sat in a tree a couple.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.